must become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
words of mercy. Presence of God right now. I believe God is able and has the freedom to do exactly what he wants to do right here today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Tom, while we were practicing this song this morning, it seemed that the Lord dropped something in my heart. You know, a lot of times we sing this verse 2, if you're tired and thirsty, there's freedom. And it is targeted to sinners that are far away from God. But you know what? We as God's people get tired and thirsty sometimes. And if you are here this morning and you are tired and thirsty, if you are weary in body, in spirit, in mind, you can have freedom from that here this morning. It's not just for the sinner. He wants our, he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. He promises us that. Sometimes we take on burdens that he does not intend us to carry. And it weighs us down in spirit. And it affects our life for God. Let him have his way this morning in you. Amen. Let him refresh you, give you the strength that you need from him this morning.
Amen.
Right. Thank you, Jesus.
I was going to say this to Sister Day privately, but as we were praying in the back room, I wanted to tell Sister Day that she is well familiar with the voice of God while we were praying back there. This gives you any more confirmation. In Luke 4 reads of Jesus being present in the synagogue and having the book of Isaiah delivered unto him. And out of 66 books of the Bible, and out of 66 books in that chapter, in 1,292 verses, he goes to write to Isaiah 61 and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recovering sight of the blind, to set them at liberty, them that are bruised. I'm so thankful that his presence is here. I also believe that he wants to reveal himself in a more powerful way this morning to build your faith,
yes,
and to bring you closer to him.
This
is what I woke up this morning, and he laid this upon my heart exactly, and this is only exactly what I'm going to share with you. And I'm also thankful that he does exactly what he says he will do. If you've been held captive, been in prison in your mind, or in a situation where you feel like you've been in a corner and have nowhere to go, if you've been broken and your heart's been hurt, he is here to bring you joy for your pain and praise for your heaviness. If you need healing in your body this morning, or in your home, or in your family, in your workplace, he is here. Just ask him for anything in his name, and he will do it. He is here. He will do it today before you leave this place. Let's continue to worship the Lord and allow him to just have his way in this place. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
has overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Oh, oh, oh. God is fighting for us. God is on our side. He has overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare I live too high. Christ revealed, and I am healed. In Jesus' name. Carrying our burdens, covering our shame. He has overcome, yes, he has overcome. We will not be shaken, we will not be moved. Jesus, you are here. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and live too high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will not die, I will declare and live too high. Christ revealed, and I am healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken. In the name of Jesus, enemies defeated, and we will shout it out, shout it out. I will live, I will not die. The resurrection power of Christ, alive in me, and I am free in Jesus' name. I will live, I will not die. I will declare and lift you high. Christ revealed, and I am here in Jesus' name.
This is quite different from going to a fast song to a slow song, but if you are in this place, and when we say healing, it's not always just a physical healing.
That's
there
right.
are so many healings that need to take place in our lives.
Yes. Yes.
There is emotional healings, there's marriage healings in your marriage, there's financial healings, there's spiritual healings, there are things in your past that some of us never, we say we give it to God and then we come back and we pick it up again. So if you're there, whatever kind of healing it is, I'm going to ask Brother Tom to go to the front and my husband and any of you up here, don't feel like, sometimes we up here are so glued to our instrument and our mic that it's sometimes hard to really let go. So this next song is Healing Is Here. There's healing and there's freedom.
Yes.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, no matter what it is in your life.
Yes.
And I know I've shared this before. Sometimes we serve the doctor of all doctors, the great physician we
yes.
serve. And sometimes we put Band-Aids on these things. And only He can see what's underneath
right.
the surface.
Yes.
Only He can truly heal underneath. And so if you're there, come to the front, pray, bind with your brother or sister. And let the leadership of the church pray for you and truly allow God to do a work
yes.
in you this morning.
Yes.
You know, we may be small in numbers, but we are not small in intimacy with the Lord.
Yes.
There is an
yes.
intimacy here this morning that God wants to move. All you have to do is let Him. Be open to what He has. Let Him stir your heart. Let Him get close and personal with you. Don't shut Him out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Healing is here.
perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is God.
and I receive it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Let's thank him for a moment. Lord, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you've done, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we could experience this, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, this very morning in your house, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If we could give God a hand clap of praise, we're going to ask the ushers to come at this time to receive this morning's tithes and offering.
I know who I am yours.
but you are mine.
I am forgiven. I am your friend. I am accepted. I know who I am. I am secure. I'm confident that I am loved. I know who I am.
I am
alive. I am set free.
I belong to you.
I am forgiven. I am your friend. I am accepted. I know who I am. I am secure. I'm confident that I am loved. I know who I am. I am alive, I am set free,
I belong to you, and you belong to me.
Oh, I know who I am, I know who I am, I know who I am, I am yours, I am yours.
If you have any interaction with media at all, you will undoubtedly hear commercials talking about identity theft. LifeLock, protect yourself, make sure your identity is safe, don't let someone destroy your credit, don't let someone mess up your life, and it's a lot easier to go ahead and pay the monthly charge than it is to repair when someone steals your identity. Bible says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. There's a great identity thief. He's stealing from people the understanding that they are the Lord's. Huh? Paul said, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are the sheep of his pasture. I belong to him. He bought and paid for me. Someone needs to know this morning, you are not who the enemy says you are. What he whispers in your ear and what he tries to get you to believe about yourself, you need to understand that's not the way it is. He is a liar and the father of lies. What you need to listen for is a still small voice that says, I know you. Even when you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. I formed you. I know you belong to me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Why don't you lift your hand just a few moments in the realization? I belong to you, Jesus. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, or ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. I belong to him. I've said it many times. I'll continue to say it. People all over this world are searching, trying to find themselves. The Bible tells us the very hairs of our head are numbered. He knows them. You will never know yourself outside of knowing God. For God, who created us, I know me by knowing him. Hallelujah. And he reveals just how wonderful, how special, how much he was willing to give so that I could have eternity with him. And that's pretty awesome. Lord, I thank you. I applaud you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We want to remind you of some upcoming events on the calendar as you grab your Bibles. We introduced a new course of study, if you will, last Wednesday night in our adult Bible study. And it's kind of new. It's something I haven't done before, and so we're spicing it up a little bit. It's going to be the, put it this way, the topics of discussion, those things that will be taught upon, and they're going to be based upon what you desire. There's a box at the back of the table that says, plainly speaking, question box. On the side, you'll see little cards that look like this. They say at the top, plainly speaking, question submission card. This gives you an opportunity. You can either check anonymous, submit the question anonymously, or if you want your identity on the card, you can put your identity there, put your name. Basically, it gives you opportunity to ask any question at all that you want to ask, and then it gives you a space to write that question in, and then below that question, it says, why this question? Explaining why the question is being asked may help clarify how to adequately address and respond to the submitted question. Your time, I know some of you took these Wednesday night. You can take some this morning if you'd like. Prayerfully consider if you have a question that you would love to see taught upon, a subject maybe that is near and dear to you or is just something that you have questions concerning and need clarification, here's your opportunity. Fill out the card, put it in the drop box, and we will endeavor to take those questions and address them in the course of our study. So it will be congregation-created curriculum. You will create the topics of discussion, and then you'll have to come because then you'll never know what night I may address your question, and so you got to make sure you're here every night, Wednesday night, so that you get your question answered. But this is just a new thing that we're doing, and we hope for your involvement therein. This coming Saturday is our small group sessions, and that's sessions, groups, sessions. You know what I'm talking about. We get together small groups and have a time of fellowship. And Sister Darling, you have, not this Saturday, next Saturday. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. This Saturday is the 19th. That's right, which is my wife's birthday. The following Saturday, a week from this Saturday, thank you, is a small group session on the 26th. That's there on the calendar. And so we want to make you aware of that. A week from tonight is a special night. We're going to have a kids' ministry service. Some of my family will be here. Well, mine and my wife's family, if you will be here in town, and they have ministered in kids' service before. And so we're going to give that Sunday night completely over to children's ministry. And so we want the kids are going to be doing the singing. They're going to be reading scripture. They're going to be participating in everything that's going on. And so we want you to come and support that. That is happening a week from tonight on the 20th. And then following that, we're going to have a little time of refreshment afterwards and fellowship. And so we want you to come and be a part of that as well. Other things for your attention there on the calendar, please. We are 2 weeks away from Easter. And so we ask each family, if you will, to bring a bag of individually wrapped candy so that we can put candy in the Easter eggs and have a little Easter egg hunt for the children after service on Sunday morning, the 27th. You have your Bibles, and you would be so kind. Turning to the book of Acts, chapter number 7. You'll place your finger or marker there and flip back to Acts chapter 2. Begin reading first in Acts chapter 2 and then following up with Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 2, verse number 37, one passage of scripture. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Flip over to Acts chapter 7, verse number 54. Notice the beginning. Verse number 54 is very much like the beginning of Acts 2:37. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Acts 2:37 says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Acts 7:54 says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. Acts chapter 2, they heard, they were pricked in their heart. He said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 7:54, they hear these things, they're cut to the heart, and they actually begin biting. I preach to you upon this subject: receive or reject. Receive or reject. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up, to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we thank you that you have met with us in a mighty way. Lord, we pray that you would continue to open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, that we would leave here, God, with a greater understanding of how you work and how you move. God, that we'd be edified and uplifted in spirit, going forth to do your will. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do in your name that is above every name. In the only saving name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Receive or reject. God has bestowed upon humanity a great power. It is simply the power of choice. He has placed within us a free will, which essentially is the ability to freely choose what we will or will not do. With the reaction of the choice comes the reaction of consequence, be the consequences good or bad. The law of reaping and sowing thus applied, we understand that we should choose wisely. Paul is addressing this universal truth and the importance of choosing wisely when he states in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 10 that all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient, nor do they edify, or nor will I be brought under the power of any. In other words, the litmus test for the choosing to do or not to do should hinge upon whether or not it builds me up, whether it's expedient and it edifies, or whether it seeks to tear me down, whether it seeks to have power over me and bring me under its power. And while we are faced with a myriad of choices every day, some seemingly insignificant and others very influential, at times we are brought to places of choice where so much is dependent upon our response. Those crossroads, those times in life where the choice is very weighty, and what we do at that particular point in time, much like when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he looked at the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, then serve him. But if Baal be God, well, then serve Baal." In other words, you're at the place where you have to make a choice, and so much is dependent upon your response. So much hangs in the balance, if you will, of which way you go and what way you choose. There is no such place of more importance than when the gospel is preached. When someone comes and begins to share the good news of Jesus Christ, when someone begins to tell about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, when someone begins to identify us as fallen humanity in need of a Savior, when someone begins to preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in that we have opportunity to be saved. At that point, at that crossroad of decision, at that particular place where many times individuals are brought, there must be a decision. Something must happen. There has to be a response, and it's going to be one way or the other. They are either going to reject or they are going to receive. They're either going to understand its implication and application in their own lives, or they are going to refuse to see, and they're going to stop their ears and cover their eyes and say, "Well, I can't see," or "I don't hear," and they reject. It is that place, if you will, where we find these passages of Scripture. We find in Acts chapter 2, many of us know the account. Many times we have read and preached from Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, how that there are, the Bible says, Jews dwelling at Jerusalem out of every nation under heaven. And when it was noised abroad, the Bible says, the multitudes come together. They were confounded. They were amazed at what was taking place. The miraculous was in their midst. Wonderful things were happening. They were trying to figure out how all these that were Galileans were speaking in their own native tongue wherein they were born. And they're trying to put their finger on what exactly is happening and taking place. Peter, the Bible says, stands up with the apostles, and Peter begins to preach. Peter begins to tell them about Jesus. Peter begins to tell them about the Bible says he calls him the Holy One. Peter begins to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. He preaches about this Jesus that God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Peter preaches, and many of us are familiar with the sermon, if you will, that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and how that he tells them that by their wicked hands they have crucified and slain Jesus. Peter preaches the message of Jesus, but it's interesting to note that in Acts chapter 6 and 7, we find the story of Stephen, who in his midst, the Bible says, there were many miracles done. The miraculous was there. There were miracles being performed. Great things were happening as Stephen was ministering. Much like in Acts chapter 2, we have Stephen. He begins to preach. He begins to lay out the gospel. He begins to address some of the same things that Peter talks about in Acts chapter 2. Stephen preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified. Stephen even uses the term just one.
in reference to Jesus. The messages are very similar in context and content. And Stephen is preaching much like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Stephen is bearing his soul, and he goes out throughout a history of the Old Testament, if you will, and in the presence of those in the audience that is listening, Stephen preaches essentially the same message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Miracles are in the midst. The message is pretty much the same. Even the Bible even lets us know that the participants in the audience are from the same places. Read it, you'll see it. You'll understand that Acts chapter 2 specifically mentions Cyrene. Acts 6, where Stephen is preaching, specifically mentions the Cyrenians, which are from Cyrene. Acts chapter 2 specifically mentions Asia. Acts chapter 6 and 7 specifically mentions Asia. So the participants, if you will, they're from the same areas. They're from the same places. So the audience, if you will, is much the same. The message, the miracles, the miraculous, the audience, it's the same. Peter is preaching and Stephen is preaching. And so it's as if the occurrences are so similar. Message is the same. The participants are from the same places. Miracles are in their midst. And the Bible specifically says, and we read it in our hearing, both audiences have their heart affected. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2, 37, that they were pricked in their heart. When they heard these things, the very same things that were said, if you will, in Acts chapter 2 or said in Acts chapter 7. And the Bible lets us know that in both audiences and in both cases, their hearts are moved. In Acts 2:37, they're pricked in their heart. In Acts 7:54, they're cut to the heart. The same message. Miracles in their midst. People from the same places. Both audiences are, their heart is stirred and they're moved, but yet two totally different responses. As I looked at the passages and I saw so many similarities, and I see the message is the same. There's miracles in the midst. Even the same places are mentioned. The audience is stirred and moved. They're cut to the heart. Yet two totally and distinctly different responses. In Acts chapter 2, they receive. In Acts 7, they reject. See, it makes me understand, it makes me to know that there are two different responses anytime the Word of God is preached. Anytime someone steps to a pulpit and preaches the unadulterated Word of God, there's going to be one of two responses. Either it will be received or it will be rejected. Either those that are in the audience, and let's be clear here. I believe the Bible points out these things to let us know. You see, we sit here in service this morning, and no doubt we all have different experiences, if you will, and encounters in life. We all, our stories are different, but in some ways they are so much the same. In some ways we have some of the same experience. Matter of fact, in many ways we hear the same sermons. We read the same word. We hear the same message. It's always amazed me how that in ministry and in ministering to people, that the same word, which no doubtly affects the heart as it did in both of these cases, how that same word, when it is preached, how it can cause some to come and fall on their face before God and readily receive the word. And at the same time, the same word in the same presence, if you will, and in the same atmosphere can have a different effect. And while the response of one one maybe to come and fall and receive on a response of another is to stand there unmoved and stoic and like nothing is really appealing to me at all, and I will reject. So I looked at these passages of Scripture and I began to realize Peter was no better than Stephen. Stephen was no better than Peter. Matter of fact, if you read down through the passage, I am not in any way, shape, or form demeaning what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, but Stephen gives a much more elaborate dissertation. He goes all the way from Genesis. He comes all the way through the Kings. He goes all the way into the prophets. He basically takes the whole Old Testament, if you will, and summarizes it and preaches it in their hearing. If anybody should have been attentive and ready to hear what Stephen had to say, it should have been those that were students of the Old Testament who understood, if you will, to some extent the law. And Stephen lays it out. Stephen, and in my heart and in my mind as I look, and please understand, I'm not doing this for effect, but as I look at the words of Stephen, he was much more precise, if you will. He was much more elaborate in what he had to say and going through what he was detailing as the ministry in the gospel. Yet, the response to Stephen is totally different. In Acts 2:37, the Bible says, they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You say, well, Stephen called them murderers and betrayers. So did Peter. Peter said, your wicked hands you have taken and crucified him. It wasn't that Stephen was more harsh with his words. Matter of fact, an argument may be made that maybe even Peter was more harsh with his words. There's just at the very end, if you will, of his message, Stephen chastises those that are hearing for their unwillingness to obey the Scriptures. Yet their response, the Bible says they gnash on him. Acts 2:37, they received his word. The Bible says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Peter preaching the same message that Stephen preached, if you will, vice versa. Respond to Peter so differently. They receive his word and they're baptized, but Stephen preaches. In Acts 6 and 7, and the Bible says they gnash on him with their teeth. Catch what else happens. In Acts 2, they ask a question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? In Acts 7, the Bible says they cry out with a loud voice. They drowned out the words of Stephen. They speak over the preacher who was trying to save their soul. Bible says they cry out with a loud voice and they stop their ears. Not hearing it. Let's be real candid and honest. One of the first signs of rejection is when people stop coming to hear. People decide, well, I can do it my way and I can go about my own business, and they stop coming to hear. That's one of the first signs of rejection. Or they seek to do other things which will drown out the voice of the preacher. And they're, oh, other things have more appeal and other things are more important to them. And though they may not cry out with a loud voice in the sense of drowning out the words of the preacher in their life, I'll tell you what they'll do. They'll find other things to be busy with and they'll find other things to do in their life. And make no mistakes, what they are doing is they are rejecting the word of God. They are deciding for themselves, it's not necessary that I go and hear the word of God. It's not necessary that a preacher speak into my life. It's not necessary that I hear the words of life. It's okay for me to stop my ears. The Bible says, catch this, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible specifically says they were all with one accord in one place. And then again in Acts chapter 7, the Bible says that when Stephen preaches, they all with one accord. There's unity in both places. In one, the unity is a unity of reception. In the other, it's a unity of rejection, because the Bible says they all with one accord come upon him. Everybody, it's the same word. It's the same message. Miracles are being done in their midst. A preacher has enough love in his heart to get in front of him and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In one instance, they receive, and they are baptized. In another instance, they reject, and they come upon him. Guess what they do? The Bible says they take Stephen out. Stone. And he, looking up into heaven, this man who only sought to teach and preach to them the gospel of Jesus Christ, this man who only wanted to turn them from the error of their ways, this man who wanted them to see as he has seen and understand as he has understood, this man who only wanted them to accept Jesus. Yet, he, Jesus, was the stone the builders set at naught. They rejected him. Here they reject him so much that they take his servant Stephen. And much like all the prophets that they had done before, that Jesus himself said, you've taken the prophets and you've killed them. And now this prophet proclaims the gospel unto them, and they take him out, and the Bible says they stone him. Catch this. Understand this. As long as I continue in rejection, eventually I will seek to cease the voice of God completely. I will endeavor. Make no mistake, if I continue to walk the road of rejection for long, there will come a point in time. See, that's why there's some, when they walk away, please understand where I'm going with this. Have any desire to come hear a word. They don't have any desire to have a preacher speak into their life anymore. They have rejected so much that they've symbolically taken the servant of God and they've killed him. Folks, John the Baptist, catch this. John the Baptist came against Herod, taking his brother's wife. He preached into his life. John the Baptist, many of us know the story. Eventually what happens is that John is beheaded by Herod. Catch this. It's what happens when you silence the voice of the preacher. Because they bring Jesus. They bring Jesus before Herod. And Herod desires to hear from Jesus. He's heard about this man, this Jesus of Nazareth. He's heard about this man who's causing all this commotion in Jerusalem. And so Herod seeks to hear Jesus. He desires an audience with Jesus. Catch this, make no mistake, what happens? And the Bible tells us that when Jesus stands before Herod, he answers him nothing. you kill the voice of the preacher, the mouth of God will close. And he will answer you nothing. His rejection that serious, you better believe it is that serious. You better believe that's why it pains my heart when I see individuals that I know are walking a road of rejection. Because if they are not careful and they don't turn around and repent and start receiving the word, what will ultimately happen is the voice of God will seek to speak and reach for them. Herod, you made a fatal mistake, buddy, when you took the head of the preacher, a one who was trying to steer you in the right direction. When you decided you would mess with God's anointed. When you decided that in order to please your friends and your family and those around about you, you would reject his word and you would ultimately kill him. And now Jesus Christ stands before you. And though you desire an audience with him, he answers you. There's hope. Him that is attached to the living, there's hope. Because you see, on that day when rejection was there, on that day when they all came upon him in one accord and they brought him out and they stoned him, Stephen steadfastly looking up into heaven and calling upon the Lord as the stones hit him. The Bible says that the men that stoned Stephen, they laid their coats at the feet of a man whose name was Saul of Tarsus. And for a period of time, we find this man, Saul of Tarsus, if anybody rejected Jesus Christ, Saul. He persecuted the church. He sought letters from Jerusalem that he could be able to go into any house. And if he found out anybody was preaching in the way of Jesus, anybody was, he could go and take them bound unto Jerusalem to be tried. And many believe some executed. And this man who rejected, who was there, he was consenting unto Stephen's death. Who rejected this Jesus Christ of Nazareth. One day he's on a road to Damascus and a bright light shines from heaven and it knocks him from off of his donkey and he looks into heaven and says, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus who you reject. I am Jesus." Then the voice from heaven says this: "How long will you kick against the pricks?" You see, Paul, I know Saul of Tarsus in the beginning, but we know him more as the Apostle Paul. For there on that day, the one that he has rejected, the one that he has decided he shouldn't follow, speaks to him and says, "I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You see, what I believe is that day when he looked at Stephen, who steadfastly looked into heaven and called upon the Lord, I believe that right then and there, something began to happen in the heart of the Apostle Paul. I believe that right then and there, he started questioning some things. And though with a vehement zeal, he persecuted the church, I believe the pricks in his heart began at that very moment. And now, he who had rejected Jesus becomes, in my mind, one of the greatest recipients of Jesus. He who had rejected Jesus initially now receives Jesus and becomes the apostle to the Gentile. The one who writes 2/3 of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. In closing, you can stand to your feet. Whatever place in life I may be, know that others come from the same situations. The audience is made up of people who some sense of the word share the same places. Much like Acts 2 and Acts 7. The message is preached. The message that I am sinful and in need of a Savior. The message that my sins crucify Jesus. My wrongs pounded the nail. There's the miraculous that takes place in our midst. Hearts are healed. Lives are changed. The gospel is preached. And then the choice is mine. I either reject or I receive. Acts 24 tells the story of how that this Apostle Paul, who initially rejected but then receives the Lord, stands before a man by the name of Felix. Acts 24:24 says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." Felix heard the message. Felix was moved. Felix, the Bible says, trembled. But here's his answer. "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. When it's convenient, preacher, then I'll receive. When it's more palatable to my lifestyle and what I want to do and how I want to live, well then, when it's more convenient for me to receive, then I'll receive. When things work out better, or when it's more appealing, or when it just feels better, well then I'll receive." Make no mistake, Felix rejected. Because any time I put off receiving, I'm rejecting. I'll say that again. Any time I put off receiving, I'm rejecting. The Bible tells us that Felix left Paul in his bonds. I guess he never found a convenient season. I guess he never found an appropriate time. Felix, don't you understand what Paul had to say was more important than anything you would ever hear? Felix, don't you understand what you needed to do in response to what Paul preached was more important than anything else you had to do in your life? You're waiting for it to be convenient. You're waiting for it to work out in your plan. You're waiting for all the stars to align, everything to work out for you to receive. Hate to break it to you. You won't receive. But if in this moment, I know I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak. I know. But you need to understand, Sunday mornings are a time when I'm preaching, I'm reaching for the lost. But you also need to understand that sometimes there are lost even in the house. Parable of lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the prodigal son. The sheep wandered away ignorantly and was lost. The coin was lost in the house, and the prodigal son knew he was walking away. But all called lost. So when I say I'm reaching for the lost, some who don't know, maybe they've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached, and they need to hear what will save their soul. For it is the power of God unto salvation. And some are lost even while they sit in the house. And some have knowingly walked away. In whatever way I may have rejected, I simply come to the pulpit this morning pleading, don't reject, receive. Don't let your response be like those in Acts chapter 7. The message was the same. There was a miracle in the midst. They were from the same places. But two totally different responses. You have opportunity to receive. Say, well, I've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've been born again. I've received. Well, that's good. But no, every time biblical precepts and principles are preached from this pulpit, there's another opportunity. There's another choice to be made. Either I will receive or I will reject. And so much hangs in the balance of my response. Lord, help me to receive. Help me to be responsive in the right way, not to reject, not to wait till a more convenient season, not to stop my ears and cry out with a loud voice so I don't have to hear the words anymore.
Draw me close to you.
Help me receive.
Never let me go.
You see, anytime I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, I realize. Anytime I say the death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, baptism in His name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it's the gospel. It's the born again experience. I know.
A
choice has to be made. Either I receive, I repent, I'm baptized, and I'm filled with His Spirit. Or I reject.
Because nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find grace.
Lord, help me not
bring
to reject.
Me back to
even though it might not be what I want to hear, help me to receive. Word which is able to save my soul.
You're all I've ever needed.
Lord, help me not to silence the voice that speaks life.
You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw close to you.
Help me be receptive.
Never let me go.
I know it's only for my good. I know.
I lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm your friend.
Jesus.
To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I want. You're all I want.
Jesus.
Acts 7:59 reads like this. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and say, this is what Stephen is saying as they are stoning. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. But because Stephen had received Jesus, now Stephen looks up to heaven, sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And while they are stoning him, he cries out unto God and says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You see, the greatest reason for receiving Jesus is so he will receive me. And the greatest reason to not reject Jesus, so that he doesn't reject me. One more time, can you lift your hands? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your word.
Praise your name. Praise your name.
And I will have received you in my life, Lord, so that when that time comes and I depart this life, I can look toward heaven with full faith and assurance and say unto you, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.